Okay, welcome everyone. This is Margaret, and this is Rockstar Charisma. And when I say Rockstar Charisma, I'm talking about whether you are on camera or on stage or on TV with Oprah or in a one-on-one sales conversation. You want to have energy, you want to have charisma, you want to have authenticity. And so welcome to this bonus class. If you're here, you've probably taken the Stand Out and Get Paid Like a Rockstar program, or you're one of my rock stars in the Rockstars on a Vision program. But either way, you've learned a lot about the importance of video. Video is key, but in particular, it can take even the world's greatest stage speaker, and I've seen this happen, and reduce them to somebody who is an awkward robot. Okay. Now, video is key because it creates such a level of authority and credibility very, very quickly. Even if your business strategy is to get lots of local clients and you're not going to be an internet sensation, video is key because the person in the local community who says, yeah, this is what I do for a living, and by the way, you can watch my video series or watch this video or watch that video, you immediately stand out like a rock star in your local community when you have video and the video is done well. Secondly, speaking, as I said, we have many great stage speakers who have a difficult time when they get on camera. But the other thing that happens is we probably have people on this call right now who say, Margaret, I do workshops all the time, I do talks, but it's very different when you're speaking to teach versus speaking in a way that is going to make an offer at the end and actually have something to sell, a pitch, an offer. And, of course, you also learned all about the power of doing that in the Stand Out and Get Paid Like a Rockstar program. And we encourage you to create talks that lead to an opening at the end for you to make an offer. And that can really shift the energy if you're used to just teaching. I've watched people who have been public speaking for 10 years get reduced to ahs and ums and uncomfortable awkwardness because they had to make an offer at the end. And we definitely don't want that to happen. Thirdly, when you are in a sales conversation, sometimes called a strategy session, as we talk about it in the Rockstar program in Stand Out and Get Paid Like a Rockstar, that when you get to a conversation with someone where you are going to make them an offer and ask them to invest in you, things get awkward and uncomfortable. But one of the biggest ways to bring in money, it's almost impossible to bring in money without doing these kind of conversations when you are an expert. So it's one of the most important things that you can do to bring in immediate money. So video is key because it creates a draw, a level of authenticity, credibility, and authority, and it literally expands the number of people who see you and have access to you. Speaking in a way that makes an offer at the end, it allows you to leverage your time and make more offers to more people and, again, be seen with authority and credibility because you're the speaker. And finally, sales calls, I mean, there's no more direct way to make money than actually making offers to people. All three of these things become incredibly uncomfortable and awkward, and the two things happen. We'll talk about this a lot in this call. We get both awkward and uncomfortable, and we hate ourselves for getting awkward and uncomfortable. It's like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I do this well? And that creates more internal pressure. Okay, so why am I teaching this and why me? I would say I'm teaching this because I have made my fortune based on video. In 2009, I did a product launch that involved, like, I think it was 6 or 7 content videos that blasted out to the world, and those videos were watched thousands and thousands and thousands of times, and within a 2-week period, I had 55,000 subscribers and over 4,000 comments on the videos that I had put out, and just hundreds of, over 100,000 combined views. Today, I have over 1.8 million views on my YouTube videos. Video has made my career and allowed me to work internationally and be internationally known. And so it's so important for me to teach people that if you really want to stand out and you really want to operate like a rock star in your niche and get paid, that video, 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 and there is a unique opportunity. Now, I could talk about that all day. You know, there's a unique opportunity with YouTube and the fact that people are watching YouTube like it's TV to actually make an incredible impact without having to pay what they did years ago. You had to pay for an ad on TV. Who has that kind of money? Only giant corporations. Okay, you can get exposure in an incredible way by making video. And so this is in the speaking and doing sales conversations. These are the three things that have that allowed me to both get seen and become widespread internationally known, and then actually make money from that, actually make offers from that, do the speaking where I'm offering something high ticket or I'm offering product and do sales conversations with people that actually allow them to invest in me. So I'm such a huge believer in it, and I have watched it change my life and the life of many people that I'm coaching. So it's incredibly important to be able to do all three of those things, video, which is also very much like being on TV, whether you're getting interviewed by, you know, Katie Couric and the Today Show over here in the U.S. Or you're on local cable. Secondly, speaking in a way that makes offers. And thirdly, doing these sales calls. So what I'm going to do on this class is, first of all, break it into two pieces. So if you're listening and you're thinking, wow, I just need to be making sales calls, the second part of this program is really going to be geared for you. The first part, we're really going to get into having a bigger energy, a bigger charisma, and a bigger authenticity on camera and on the stage, and in anything that you do in general. And then again, part two will really be specifically around when you're in a sales conversation, whether you're on a stage in front of a group of people, three people, or one person in person or on the phone. Okay, so that's how I'm going to break it up, because they're slightly different pieces that go with each one, even though there's some crossover. Okay, and so there might be, depending on how timing goes, what I really want to do is jam in a lot of tapping and a lot of transformation for you. So I may or may not be able to take any comments, but if I do, you'll star two to raise your hand, and we'll take your feedback quick. So one of the things I want to set the stage at as we jump into having charisma and authenticity on camera is really, you know, it's what does that mean? So one of the things I'll challenge you to do, particularly when you have this recording, because you probably can't do it right now, is to go to your webcam, you know, pause the audio if you're listening to it later, go to your webcam and make a video of you, just like it's going to go on YouTube, saying your name and who you are and what you do and the kind of work that you do and making an offer to people to come and work with you, okay? And for most people, when they watch that, they make that video, first of all, they avoid it. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. We break into a sweat. We come away from that video. Now we look at it, and we want to crawl under the desk. There's so many so much of our internal dialogue comes up about how we look and how we sound. And what we often see is there's the words might be there, but there's not a lot of energy and charisma. And there's a disconnect from the warmness and the authenticity and the realness. And, you know, that comes through on camera. When you're authentic and you're real, that really comes through on camera. You could have half the brain power and the know-how of somebody else, but if you can come through with realness on camera, people will fall in love with you. They will want to work with you. They will feel like they know you. So what goes wrong? What goes wrong is there's this uncomfortable, awkward. I can only describe it as weirdness that comes up when the camera comes on. And I don't want you to feel bad about it because, again, I've worked with world-class speakers who are literally on stages constantly and are not able to translate that on the camera. There's a great, there's a show here in the U.S. It was called 30 Rock. And there was, and it's about a TV show about a TV show. And one of the characters, played by Alec Baldwin, plays the president of the company, so he's a businessman. And in one of the episodes, they decide to have him personally do some publicity shots, do some commercials. And he's this incredibly charismatic and powerful guy and a hysterical character on the show. Yet, they just show clip after clip of them trying to film him talking to the camera. And he's like, he gets to a point where he's like, I don't even know how to walk anymore. Do I, is it right leg, right arm? Or is it left leg, right arm? Like, he literally was like, I don't know how to swing my arms. I don't know what to do with my arms. There's just this awkward weirdness that comes over us. We talk differently. We sound differently. The energy that we would have in person is just gone. And so why is that? Now, I've been doing video for a long time and working with people for a long time on this. And this is what I see, okay, because this call and the tapping that we're doing is about to get really weird. And so if you're coming into this audio from the, you know, the standout program, and maybe you've never done a lot of tapping before, or you're coming into it from a different place and you've never heard of tapping, not only are we going to do tapping, but it's going to get really strange, because the weirdness, the fear, the uncomfortableness comes from all of the unspoken things that we want to hide in our shadow, okay? And so it comes from the things that you both feel, things that you want, things that you're worried about, that you feel you shouldn't feel and that you need to hide. So on the one hand, we'll feel these impulses, these fears, these things we're worried about, the things we want. And at the same time, we don't want to feel them. We wish we didn't feel them. We deny that we feel them. We refuse to feel them, and we want to hide from the camera and from people that we feel them. Now, that creates a massive amount of internal, like, craziness and chaos. And so the reason why I'm saying this call is about to get a little crazy is that we are going to voice crazy stuff that you, that many of you would swear to me, I don't feel that, Margaret. I don't want that. I don't care about that. But by voicing it, and believe me, a lot of my speakers have said that, no, I don't care. I don't care. I don't feel that. I'm like, well, we're tapping about it anyway, because that's what's making you awkward on camera. Okay, so what are these kinds of things? And because, I, you know, when I mentioned about making a video now, if you pause the audio, I want you to go back at the end of this tapping and make another video, because it will be drastically, drastically different. I have had people do this kind of tapping, and they're, you know, have to make a video in front of a camera crew and just be literally a different person stepping in front of that camera. It is, it works, and it's powerful. But you got to do some crazy stuff first. So, okay. So in setting this up, I wanted to create the internal tension in all of us, in all of you, so that you could start to measure and see what comes up for you. So I thought, what is worse than trying to make a video and having a camera rolling? Well, what's worse than that is actually imagine yourself, so everyone close your eyes, imagine yourself that you're on stage and you're in front of an audience of people and you have to make a video on camera. So now, not only do you have to make the video great, but people are watching you trying to make the video. Oh my God, doesn't that make it so much worse? Okay, so in this first part of the audio, in this first part of this program, we're going to focus on what happens when you try to get on camera, on stage, or even on TV. So picturing yourself up on a stage, And by the way, everybody in the audience, they're not just random people. They are potential perfect customers or clients for you. Okay, so they're all sitting there, and now the camera guy rolls up, and you're like, hold on, guys, I need to do this video spot. Okay, so now the camera is rolling, and you are up there, and you're making the video. So I want you to watch this roll out, because what you're going to start to see, and your mind's eye is going to paint you this picture of all the things that are going wrong. And that's where we're going to start with the tapping. So I want you to see yourself there. What's going wrong? Do you look bad? Are you stumbling? Are you awkward? Are you uncomfortable? Are you afraid? And how is the audience judging you? That's pretty bad, right? I'm going to make it even worse. So now you finish making the video, and now they're going to play it on the Jumbotron. So you and the audience get to look up and see you up there on the Jumbotron speaking the video that you just made. Dear Lord, there it is. So I want you to just quickly, I want you to write down for yourself, because these are going to, the things that come up for you are things that you can tap on like over and over in your life. Okay, and so I want you to write down all of the things that are wrong with you and all of the things that people are thinking and judging about you. So just get some of those down. So in this first round of tapping, we're about to jump right in. I'm going to randomly tap through the points. We're going to use the stuff that you came up with in this first little exercise. But what I'm going to do for the tapping, because some of you may have never done tapping before, is I'm going to tap through the tapping points. I got lots of videos on how to do tapping and the tapping points, so you can check that out or pause this audio or go back to it. But the tapping points that I'm going to use, and you can use whatever tapping points you may know or like, I use the eyebrow point, which is at the top, the eyebrow, right where the eyebrow begins, right above the nose. And you can tap with one hand, either hand, both hands, one side of the face, both sides at the same time, any way you like it. And we're just lightly tapping on these acupuncture points. And then I'm going to use the side of the eye point, which is on the edge of the bone, right on the side of the eye. And then I go to the under the eye point, which is right under the center of the eye. Again, you can sort of feel the edge of the bone right there. And if you use two fingers, you'll have a more surface area to really make sure you're hitting the acupuncture point, which is key. The next point is under the nose, so it's right between the nose and the lip. The next point is called chin point, and it's in the cleft of the chin. The next point is called the collarbone point, and it's right under the edge of the collarbone, and a lot of people like to tap both sides at once. Again, I know that I've got all sorts of videos on YouTube where I demonstrate the tapping points, and you can also probably just Google EFT tapping points, and you'll find millions of images of the tapping points. There's also a point right on the top of the center of the head. So I'm not going to call out these tapping points. I'm just going to give you the phrases, and you'll repeat after me, even when they sound crazy, and say them out loud. So you might want to, be in a soundproof room. And you're just going to tap along. You can switch tapping points at any speed that you like. As long as you're touching the tapping points, that's the only part that matters, is that you're tapping on the points, because that's what shifts the autonomic nervous system and turns some of this crazy awkwardness off. Doesn't that sound awesome? That's how I could take somebody. For years, I worked with people who had massive fear of public speaking, and in one session, freaking just eliminate that, and they became, an easy speaker, which is absolutely unheard of, and it's because of the power of the tapping. Okay, so tuning back into everything that's wrong with me in this picture, and I'm just going to use a whole bunch of guesses that I've heard from other people. Okay, so tapping through the points. There I am, and you're repeating after me. There I am, and everybody's watching my video. Oh, it's bad. awkward, stiff, painful. Oh, it's really bad. It's really bad. I look like an idiot. I look like an amateur. And I look funny. I look afraid. I look nervous. Oh, that's a killer. It's so embarrassing. Awkward on camera. And I just look bad. I'm funny looking. I sound funny. Oh, my voice. Ugh. The sound of my voice. I can't watch it. It's painful and uncomfortable. And the audience agrees with me. They're totally judging me. They are definitely judging me. Maybe they're embarrassed for me. Maybe they think I'm a fake. This is so bad. And my nervous system, life or death, fight or flight, and I want to run away. Anxiety, embarrassment, humiliation, my inner critic, and the audience agrees. I honor my nervous system. It's running like I'm in a life and death situation. Panic, fear, life or death. Panic, fear, life and death, judgment, embarrassment. It's all bad. I don't ever want to make video. I'm just going to honor that. And take a nice deep breath. Now with tapping, it's not affirmation based. We say the negative things. We actually try to go over the top. Okay, and strangely what happens is it gets released. Tapping is a releasing technique. We're trying to release all of that stuck, stressed, balled up energy with the thoughts that go with it out of the nervous system. Okay, so close your eyes, everybody, again, and I want you to picture yourself there on stage, just you there on stage, and notice how different your energy, your physiology looks. Now, most people, even after one round of tapping, saying all those negative things, will say, wow, I look much more present and confident. And how judgmental does the audience look? Okay, and usually that's lightened up. They're like, wow, the audience looks friendlier. Okay, so just notice there might be some more tapping for you to do in that picture. Okay, so I want you to zero in on the one thing that's left in that picture. So if you could say, well, I look better, but, okay? And so you write down what your but is. It's like, what is it? Is it, but, you know, I don't know what to do with my arms, or my face looks afraid, or people are wondering if I'm a fraud, or they're asking me to prove that I'm good enough or something, Right. Or sometimes it's really physical. You know, it's like my knees look fat. I mean, I hear the craziest things, right? It's my ears. It's my ears. Oh, my God, it's my ears. Right. So what is that one yeah, but thing? And we're going to do another quick round specifically on that, because when I can help you shift and clear these things out, there's a whole level of tension that comes out of you. Intention creates awkwardness for everybody. Okay. So tapping again. There I am. I look better. But there's this one thing. And it's really unforgivable. This one thing everyone can see that I don't want them to see, because I hate it myself. This one thing. Oh, I hate it. And I don't want anyone to see it, because I know they'll judge it. Because I judge it. Something's wrong with me. This proves it. It's embarrassing. I look stupid. It makes me look weak. It makes me look afraid. It makes me look bad. It gives me a weakness. And I feel exposed and vulnerable. And I don't like that. This thing that I can't accept, that I want to hide, it's ugly and embarrassing. Maybe it's my very voice. Maybe it's how I look. I don't like it and I judge it. So it's hard for me to see. And I'm just going to honor that. And all of the tension and energy it holds. I give myself permission to be human and to be me and to be flawed and brilliant. I don't usually give myself permission like that. Okay, and take a nice deep breath, and I just want you to see yourself again on the stage. And just see how intense that one yeah but thing is now. Okay, so getting really specific and doing another round, even though I didn't know what your thing was, helps to just make it feel like it's not such a big deal. Okay, so I want you to just imagine that you're standing on the stage in that moment, and you're literally saying either out loud or with your energy or your intention, I give myself and everybody here permission to be awesome and human, to be brilliant and flawed, to be perfect and imperfect, because I am. And just notice how good that feels. So I want you to see how that affected the whole room. Now, we've all seen very famous people and comedians and famous actors and actresses say things like, yeah, I got a big nose. It drives me crazy. I hate it. But what am I going to do? I got a big nose. So do you see how the shift makes it easier to have that kind of an attitude about your flaws and give other permission people to have theirs as well? Okay, it takes some of the charge out of it. Now, if it's something still really strong, you just have some more specific tapping to do there, okay? Okay, so now we're going to move on to the bigger piece of what's in there. Okay, and I do have a hand up, but I'm going to go on to the next set of tapping, and then I'll see if we can take some feedback. Okay, so now I want you to see yourself again, and now the Jumbotron is back with your video on it. Okay, because the next thing that we have to tap on is what I referred to as the thing that you both feel and want and are worried about, but at the same time, you hate yourself and refuse and deny that you feel it and that you want it. And if you feel it and you want it, you hate yourself for feeling it and wanting it. Okay? And this is a hard one, especially for people who are very powerful in their lives and carry a really confident energy. But there's something about the freaking camera that brings this out, even if they've conquered the stage. And so here's what I want you to see in the secret undertone in that video. So now it's like people are watching the Jumbotron with your video, but they're seeing something underneath, which is this: desperation. I need you to like me. I wish I didn't, but please like me. Please don't judge me. So I just want you to see and feel that. And again, a lot of people say, no, I don't care what people think. I don't care what people think. I'm beyond that. I've evolved beyond that. I don't care about it. And it comes through in camera in this awkward weirdness. So what we're going to do, even if you don't think you have it, because this is the most embarrassing thing to have, isn't it? It's the most embarrassing thing to have, which is I desperately want people to like me and validate me. And you know what? You cannot be human on this planet. I don't care how brilliant and accomplished you are without having that, and it shows up on camera. So we're going to tap on it, okay? So just start tapping again. The truth is, what comes through on camera is my secret embarrassing shame, desperate for people to validate me. Please validate me. I need you to like me. I need you to love me. I need you to adore me. No, I don't. I'll never admit that. But being on camera makes it possible to be a mini celebrity in my field. And deep down somewhere, I hate myself for this, but I'm desperately needy for people to love me and think I'm great. I want you to think I'm great. I want you to think I'm kick ass. I want you to see my strengths only. I want you to see how cool I am. I want you to see how much I don't care about other people's opinions. I desperately want you to believe that. Please love me and validate me. Please only see my strength and brilliance. I need that. I need you to love me. And that's running through my system. And I hate myself for that. I don't want to want that. I now go on record as denying that I want that. I refuse to want that. I refuse to be needy and vulnerable and desperate. That's everything I hate. And if that ever came through on camera, I would be horrified. But I'm human. And it's a rising impulse. And I hate myself for it. And that's why I'm going to honor it. Hidden beneath my brilliant strength is my desperate need, embarrassingly desperate need, to be loved and adored and validated by everyone who watches this video. God, that's embarrassing. And I'm just going to honor it. It's okay. I'm just going to honor it. I am totally human. And creating video means hundreds of thousands of people will be seeing me. And that's a lot to run through my system. And I'm just going to honor that I'm human. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. I told you it was going to get a little crazy and you were going to voice stuff that you would argue with me you don't feel. Okay, so I just want to do, I'm going to lower the hands for a second because I want you guys to start to and just raise your hand on the screen to vote. If that, embarrassingly as it may have been, if that felt true to you and it's the thing that you wish that wasn't in there and that you would never want anyone to see. So just start to and raise your hand if that resonated for you. Yeah, the whole screen's lighting up here. There's still a lot of people who are like, nope, don't care, don't care, don't care what people think. Okay, and so here's the thing. If you can find some resonance with that, even though it's embarrassing and it's often the thing we have vowed never, ever to want and to need validation, and aren't we supposed to have evolved past needing validation? If you can find a charge around that in the deepest places of your humanity, what it means is your ability and you can move it, right? You can move it so it doesn't keep you like locked up and frozen with awkwardness. It means that you will be the type of person that can get on camera and people will say, I feel them. I feel their authenticity. I feel how real they are. Because when you, and you don't, believe me, you never have to voice this to anybody or on camera. But when you can voice it and honor it and just be a tiny bit okay with it, so you're not having to hide it anymore and pretend like you're somebody who's perfectly, I don't care what anyone thinks, I'm just a smart teacher. When you can voice it and honor it and own it and laugh at yourself a little bit for it and do that kind of tapping before you get on camera, what will come through is this indescribable quality of that person feels real to me. They feel real. There is no wall between me and them. They're not just smart in what they're saying, but I actually feel like this is a real, authentic person. So when I started the call, I talked about not just energy and charisma, but I said authenticity. authenticity. And when you can voice and move and honor and laugh at and even over the top voice things that could possibly be hidden in your shadow, you become so much more present and authentic because there's no more energy of something I'm trying to hide. Now, I can share with you personally, for me, I hated that I could feel in myself, I want people to like me, because that was everything I was trying to tap away. That was everything that meant I was weak. That was everything that meant I was insecure. And the thing for me, whenever I look back in my life, any time that I was afraid or insecure, that was unforgivable. So how did I come across on camera? Freaking insecure. What is my biggest fear of being on stage and being on camera is that I'm going to look insecure and afraid, because me, that's unforgivable. And why am I insecure and afraid? Because secretly, I want you to like me. And there's this fear about being judged. And worse than the fear about being judged was the anger at myself, the disgust for being so needy and needing so much validation. But what I want to suggest to you is that by putting yourself on camera, it seems to amp the whole thing up. Because when we're in person with people, we're reading all the signs, we're getting the feedback, we can modulate the way we talk and how we are, and there's a connection and we can laugh with people. When you're on camera, you don't get to do that. And I think we unconsciously understand that hundreds of thousands of people could watch this video, and you don't have any other way to make a connection with them. And it really amps up this fear. So, I'm spending a lot of time on this because it's so hard for confident, achieving people to get this, to see it in themselves, and they're like, that is everything I hate. I hate people who are needy and desperate for validation. But if you can voice that and honor it, that it does live in your system somewhere, because you are human. You're actually not a robot. You are actually not a robot. You are human. You have a lower self. You have this uprising desire. And by the way, it's part of how you're wired. When you're the type of person that says, I'm going to put myself on camera and on stage and ask lots of people to look at me with authority and credibility and fall in love with me and want to invest in me and trust me. So the type of person who wants to do that is, you can't help but be wired with this impulse. Because if you didn't have a way to get people to like and trust you, your whole livelihood would go away. So I want you to be willing to go there, willing to be goofy about it. Because when I started tapping crazily like this before I got on camera, I desperately need everyone to love me and think I'm funny and think I'm cool. My whole energy changed. And the number one comment that I get on my videos, I have over 70 public videos on YouTube and many, many more that are private for other, that not everyone gets to see. The number one feedback I get is that people say, you're so real, you're so relatable, I feel your heart when you talk. Okay? And that would not be there if I was all stuck up around this. Okay? So after doing that crazy tapping, I want you to close your eyes and see yourself on stage again. And I want you to see yourself just kind of like shake out your body and say to the audience something like, boy, this makes me nervous, because I'd hate to, the one thing I hate to admit is, I hope you guys like me. And then the whole audience laughs and you move on. Now, you might never, ever say that in a million years. I say crazy stuff like that on stage. I'm saying these things to you guys right now, right? But I want you to see what happens in your physiology when you just honor and let that go and take that whole weight, that whole inner battle, all off your shoulders. How does your energy look? And now I want the camera crew to come back, and I want you to see yourself making another video from this, I totally own that I am human and flawed, and I'm still freaking brilliant place. And I want you to see the difference. And what happens often in the visualization, but even more so in real life, is a totally different level of animation and energy and movement, and that is translate as charisma. Your realness and your enthusiasm can come forward when you're not so worried about this internal struggle of, one, how are people going to judge me? Because these are all the things I judge in myself, and now they're on camera. And two, this, I need you to like me and validate me, and I'm desperate, and I wish I didn't need that, and I don't want you to know that I need that, so I'm going to act indifferent to you. Those two factors, the ways that people are going to judge me, and I wish I didn't feel this desperate, I want everyone to validate me, and I deny that I feel it, I'm not going to let myself feel it. Those are the two biggest things that we shift, and your whole camera and stage presence will shift. And you know what? It's so much more fun to be on stage when there's not anything to hide. There's nothing to hide, because you, even if you haven't told anybody, you have voiced it and you have honored it in yourself. This is a goofy process. It's an uncomfortable process, but it's one of the most powerful things you can do. So I highly recommend that you try it. Okay, so anybody wants to give a quick feedback before we move on to the second phase, which is really about sales conversations. And it's going to sound similar in some ways, but it has a slightly different spin on it. And you can star two and raise your hand. Okay, I'm coming to, I think the last name is Cohen.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Margaret. How are you?
I'm good.
So I've done your other program, so I know that I'm a charismatic leader. I just keep coming to just have such a horrible feeling about the fact that somebody's going to think that I think that I'm good.
Okay, awesome, okay? Because you know what? I'm going to jump in and do a tapping round on that. Because, so here's the other thing. You know, you mentioned the profile as a charismatic leader, right?
Yeah.
And so, thank you. Awesome question, Melissa. I'm going to go off on that one. So the things that you're wired with when you're a charismatic leader, and if you don't know what that means in my vernacular, it means that you're the type of person that is wired to want to stand up and be seen and do something really great and actually get seen and paid for it, okay? And so the impulse that comes with that is an impulse that also is very embarrassing, which is, I'm kind of awesome. And so there's an arrogance in our shadow that if we didn't have it, we wouldn't constantly be the one to say, I want people to listen to me and buy from me. I want people to see me as the expert. You can't have that without having a little bit of the shadow side, which is, I really don't want people to see me and act like I think I'm great. So, you know, she just hit on the other biggest issue I had when I first started making videos, which was stopping me from making the 6 or 7 videos that basically gave me 55,000 subscribers in 2 weeks. So was it important for me to look at that? Yeah. The other big thing was, after I got over the I don't want anyone to see me as scared and insecure, was the total opposite. I don't want people to think that I think I'm great. Okay, so I want to jump in and do some really great tapping on it. And this is the other side of the tapping that you can do, shifting from the needy side to this crazy side. Okay, so I will take the other two comments, but I want to jump in and do this really fun tapping. Okay, so I want you to close your eyes again and see yourself up there on the Jumbotron. And now your energy's better. But now you're looking like some of the people in the audience are thinking, he or she is kind of arrogant. Okay? So we're going to add a different flavor in there. Okay. So I want this to be like you're talking on camera to the audience. Okay? The truth is, I do want you to love me and more. Because if I'm being really honest, I want you to see me as awesome, the best, because I think I'm awesome, and I kind of think I'm better than other people. I know you're not supposed to say that, but I want you to see me as special, more specialer than everybody else. I want you to see me as the rock star, me as the best, me as the top. And I don't want you to know that I want you to think that, because that sounds really bad. But the truth is, there's a part of me who wants all of you to be amazed at my amazingness, like a rock star. Worship me for all of my brilliance and amazingness. Point at me and say, she's the best. And then I just get to be humble. Oh, that's so what I want. Oh, I want to be adored. That is so bad and embarrassing. So now I need to hide that too. I need to hide that. And I judge it. And I'm conflicted about it. And I don't want anybody to see it. So I'm back on camera or on stage, and I've got something to hide, and I'm hiding it, and everyone feels it. But how can I not hide it? I'm open to being totally enthusiastic about my own awesomeness and giving everyone in the room permission to be their unique awesomeness and flawed at the exact same time. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. So that's the two sides of it. One side is I desperately want everyone to like me and validate me, and the other side is I desperately want everyone to see me as great. And I don't want anybody to know either thing. One makes me sound weak, and one makes me sound like an arrogant jerk. All of that is going on inside of you, and this creates the awkward weirdness on camera and on stage. And when you clear it, totally different person emerges. Okay? Okay, I'm going to come to, I think the last name is Gardner.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
What do you do with a situation of, I was giving a talk the other day, and someone else who was also an expert kind of in the field kind of came up with a comment that was embarrassing and put down for me, for what I was doing, in front of the group. It felt very, very awkward and very, very scary.
Yeah, now, so there's no good way to handle that, right? I mean, that's just
right.
Painfully awkward. And so, you know, when people started using the word awkward, it really changed everything. And to me, it gives you the ability to literally go, that was awkward, and break the tension for everybody. But, I mean,
uh-huh.
There's no good way to handle that. There is no good way to handle that. But when you can, you know, when you can seem a little bit, wow, okay, but gracious,
uh-huh.
Everyone is going to be looking at that person and then looking at you, right? And so it's important for you to, you know, to know that people aren't stupid. Everybody in the room got that there's something going on with that person because they kind of, you know, whenever we publicly trash somebody, people aren't stupid. You know what I mean? They get what that means. And then everyone looks at you, and there's no good way to handle it, you know, except being incredibly real in the moment, which is, wow, okay, awkward, or you know, I mean, how else do we handle it? You make eye contact with people, and you kind of go, wow, I don't know what to say about that. And so I started to give myself permission to not know how to handle every situation that people throw at me, because I'm not good on the fly with confrontation. I like happy things.
Right.
And so I started to give myself permission to go, wow, I don't even know what to say about that. I don't even know how to address that. Okay, moving on. And because I didn't. Right. And so, you know, there's no easy way to handle it. Just do your best and try to be really real about it, you know. And if you're talking to people after, you know, the best thing you can do is to be completely honest and go, well, you know, yeah, that kind of hurt. I mean, awkward. And, you know, geez, I felt that one. And, you know, whatever you are really feeling, it's people are sort of looking to you for the realness and authenticity of your reaction, and it takes someone that has true power to actually show vulnerability. There's so much power in showing vulnerability, and that's why when we do this tapping on, I need you to validate me, it actually gives us more power, right? And so being able to say, like, wow, yeah, that kind of, you know, I didn't see it coming, and I've never had anyone say that before, and it kind of hurt, and geez, it was embarrassing, you know. It's okay to say things like that and be real about it and say, you know, I totally love what I do, and I give everyone permission to do their thing, but I, you know, don't know how to, I don't know what to say about that person saying that, right? Very authentic, very real, you know, no one's got the perfect comeback in the perfect moment. What I don't want you to do is to try, is anything that would say, you know, that didn't bother me at all. You know, like, I'm fine with it, I don't care, because that comes off just as, you know, not authentic as, you know, as the other person was being, right? And this really does translate to on camera and on stage. You know, sometimes when I'm on stage, and my event company will say this all the time to people, especially when they're new on stage, if something's going wrong, the best thing to do is go, oh, okay, I'm getting a message in my ear here, something's going wrong, so we're just going to see what that is. And, you know, just literally don't get panicked and nervous about it. Just say it. Okay, something just went off track here, people. I don't know how to get it back on track, but hang on a second. You know, whether you're on a radio show or on stage or on a TV show, that's the best way to handle it, is being as authentic in the moment as you can.
Thank you.
I don't know if that helps, but, you know.
It did. I appreciate it, Margaret. I appreciate what you're doing. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, it's kind of like Reese will say, it's never fun to be around somebody in defense, you know, somebody that's throwing stuff out. Okay, Amanda.
Hello. I knew there was a reason I got up at 4 o'clock on a Saturday morning to listen to this call.
Yes, my New Zealander.
This explains to me completely something that's gone on to me for years. So I've been a trainer for over 20 years, and I have never really got why I have a different persona when I'm training as opposed to when I'm in person. So when I'm in person chatting with somebody one-on-one, I'm much more charismatic than if I'm standing in front of a group. To me, there's so many rules that I have to follow. When I'm in front of a group, there's a certain way of doing it, and there's a certain way of being appropriate, and there's so much that I just have to do to be professional and all that sort of thing. And it was pointed out to me quite a few years ago now that this my boss at the time just couldn't get the disconnect. So she'd met me in a personal situation first and then employed me, and she couldn't get how I couldn't bring that personal energy into my training. So that tapping that we've just done has just explained to me why that is. And now
awesome.
I get it.
And you're about to do some training, so you'll be able to see how it shifts.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
awesome.
Ironically, I had a conversation with someone about the training prior to my free teleseminar that I've just done. And I knew that I needed to hold that energy that I had with that person when I was doing the training. So I consciously did that at the start of the training.
Nice.
But
good.
This really helps. I'm going to be redoing this recording several times.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, good job, Amanda. Okay, so we're going to jump in because I want to get in this next process. So I know there's a few more people with your hands up. I'll see if I can try to get to you at the end, but we've only got about a half an hour left. So this next section of this class is going to go specifically into doing a sales conversation. And it's a little, some of the tapping that we already did totally applies, okay? But there's a whole nother aspect when you're either selling from the stage or from a talk, even if it's three people, or when you're in a one-on-one sitting across the table situation or on the phone with somebody. And so, again, I'm going to mention the same thing. There is an awkward, uncomfortable weirdness that comes from the unspoken things that we want to hide that are sort of in the shadow side, things that we don't want to feel, that we wish we didn't feel, that we refuse to acknowledge we feel, and that we will deny, I don't feel that way. Because what happens when we go from just being a lovely person giving advice to being a person that is making an offer, we step into a different realm. And if you're working for a company and you're a salesperson, this is one thing. But when you are self-employed, in your income, your family's future, your wealth, your ability to take a vacation, your ability to actually pay your employees is now contingent on what you do in these sales conversations. Everything just changed, okay? So in the first one, we talked about sort of this, I'm desperate for you to like me, which, believe me, people's ears bleed the first time they hear that. They're like, what? I can't tap on that, okay? In this part of it, it's going to sound like this. I'm desperate for your money. I need your money. Give me your money, okay? So here's what I want you to see. I want you to picture you sitting across the table from somebody. This is a perfect customer potentially for you. And you are making them an offer. Maybe it's for sessions, maybe it's for a high ticket. Maybe it's for a 6-month commitment in a coaching program or some kind of consulting or a service that you're going to do for them. Or maybe it's for a whole bunch of the artwork that you sell, okay? But I want the price to be at least $1,000 or more. So whatever you do, whatever you charge, if you have to give more of it or longer of it, I want it to be at least $1,000. Okay, so I want you to see yourself in that scenario. You're saying, this is what I do, this is what I can offer you, and this is the price, sliding it across the table. It's $1,000+. And I want you to just visualize the other person. So the first thing that might come up, and I want you to take some notes on it, is because we're not going to deal with it right now, but I want you to see if there's any insecurities in there, like I'm not good enough, or they're wondering, or questioning, or totally doubting that I have that kind of value. So you really need to test your price points against the inner value that you're allowing yourself to carry. And I say allowing yourself to carry for a reason. If you're do not allow yourself, refuse to allow yourself to carry an inner value that matches that number, it's going to, you are going to avoid these conversations. You are going to backpedal. You are going to change the price, or you're just going to be so painfully nervous that the person's going to think, this is like a pyramid scheme. Get me out of here. Something bad is happening. Okay? So I want you to just capture right now some aha moments, like on where you think the value issues are. And if you think you're solid, but your mind is painting you a picture of somebody being incredibly skeptical, your mind is painting you a reflection in that person of all of the doubts about your value. Maybe they're doubts that you battle against. I'm always trying to prove. But either way, your mind paints the picture of what's resonant in you. So some aha moments here for where I need to work on my belief in the value of me and the value of my time. Okay? So note for later. And what I want you to see in the picture now is this energy between the two of you, this unspoken, most embarrassing, horrifying, the thought of them knowing it thing that is 100% there, because it can't not be there, which is, I need your money. And that I find, in addition to some of the belief in your value stuff, this piece of it causes the internal chaos that creates the weirdness in your face, in your words, your eyeballs are wide open and frozen, and you're like, this is how much I charge. And we're in this total weird, awkward space, and it turns the conversation into a weird, awkward space. Now, I was in sales for a long time, and I've coached tons of salespeople, insurance people, finance people, and when we work through this, they completely change. And often start to actually make more phone calls, amazingly. Okay, so here's what we're going to tap on. Okay, we're going to just jump in and start tapping. Even if it sounds crazy for you, try it anyway. I totally honor this potential client. And I'm honoring what I'm offering. And I really do believe it's for their highest good. I really do believe that. If only that was all that was going on. Because as much as I believe this is for their highest good, and I believe that I can help them with what I do, there's this other thing going on, which is a pulling, desperate, needy energy that just feels wrong. I need your money. I'm trying to persuade you to give me your money because I want it and I need it. I desperately want your money. Oh my God, that sounds bad. I want to enjoy your money. Have your money. Deposit your money. And that feels so wrong. I want to high five all my friends the second you give me your money. Oh my gosh, that's bad. I desperately need to pay my bills. with your money. I'm trying to act like it's no big deal, but I desperately want you to give me your money. And that natural human uprising within me, I gotta hide that. That is horrible. I feel like a manipulative criminal. I gotta hide it. I gotta hide it. I gotta hide it. But I feel it. I'm just gonna honor it. This isn't a normal, friendly conversation. I'm making an offer for their highest good, and I will profit from what I'm suggesting because I'm going to get their money, and I really want their money. For all my selfish reasons. And that makes me feel weird and manipulative and secretive, like there's something to hide. And that makes me very, very attached to their decision. I'm totally attached to what they decide. And that makes me doubt whether this is for their highest good, or doubt my intention, because I'm so attached to receiving their investment. I'm just going to honor that. And in voicing it, know that I have voiced my lower self, the one that everybody on the planet has, and that I am human. But even with that, the truth is, I really don't want someone who's not a good fit. I want the best for them and me. And I truly have a positive intention for both of us. So I am open to letting go of the outcome of this conversation, the outcome of my sales offer, letting go of my attachment, and putting it in the hands of the divine for the highest good of whoever hears my offer and me. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. Now, I know that was crazy tapping. I know that was crazy tapping. And I can't tell you, back in the days when I was a practicing success coach working with clients, how much fun I had making salespeople tap on that, making business owners say those words, because it horrified them and it completely changed how they felt in a sales conversation. Because when you can just voice that, not to anybody else, but voice it and tap on it, you no longer have this huge, scary thing that you feel conflicted about, and you feel like there's something that you're hiding. And we all know, because we've all been around salespeople, quote unquote, who desperately are trying to, quote unquote, sell us, desperately trying to get our money. And it feels yucky. And we're so afraid that that is going to happen, yet we feel this impulse. And so just like the last process, it's like we feel it and then we judge it and we hate ourselves for feeling it and we're afraid everybody's going to see it. And oh my God, now you're sitting there awkwardly frozen saying, I don't know how to move my arms. Okay, it gets crazy. And so I want everyone to take another nice deep breath and just remember, I'm human. It's okay. And in my heart, I give amazing value and I honor that I offer it for the highest good of me and to the other person. And remind yourself of that often. I recommend you do this tapping before you go into any sales conversation, and you will come out with a, you will go into it with a totally, totally different energy. And you know what the energy feels like? It feels like you are doing things, you are offering from the place of service, and you're detached from the outcome. I like to say, be attached to the fact that somebody should make a decision, yes or no. Like, I want them to make a decision, but be unattached to what their decision is. Now, that's easier said than done when we have this huge charge around, I need that money. And that money is going to also validate me and all these other things, right? When someone makes us an offer and you don't feel any energy of push or manipulation or desperation, it gives you the space to make the decision. And that's what's going to come when you can shift your energy around sales conversations. Now, even if this was like a 2 for you, a very, very little charge, and you tap on it anyway, I'm telling you, you'll still get a big payoff in the sales conversation. It'll be easier. It'll be breezy. It'll feel good. The other person will feel good. It takes all of the awkwardness out of the space between you. I know it sounds weird. I cannot recommend it enough. Okay. So I'd love to take just a little bit of feedback on that. And then we're just going to end with a pause, with a little bit of positive sort of affirmation round. And I'm going to come to two people had their hands up from before. It was, I think, last name Sarlo. You had your hand up before. Let's see, 9321 are the last four digits of the phone number.
Yeah, that's
you.
Me.
Yeah, yes. Hi.
Hi. Okay, so my question was, and you did touch on it right here with the value, because when I think of making, you know, when I make a video or I do a talk, I often get this sense afterwards of shame in that, who do I think I am, you know, putting myself out there like that. And I, after what you just said, it sounds like that I have some issues feeling that what I have is valuable. And does that coincide with the idea that I might feel shame by putting myself out there?
Well, what I would say is a little bit different. Whenever you're going to break a closely held rule that came from your family, like don't stand out, don't act
right,
arrogant, don't be bigger than your britches or whatever, anytime you're going to break a rule that you have literally vowed never to break, you will feel two things, shame or fear. So, you know, I used to do my little workshops locally, and the whole way home, it was like I totally sucked. Everyone hated it. It was awful. And I was like, wow, that's loud. And the same thing will happen after video. I literally be like, nobody's going to like it. Everyone's going to hate it. They'll be like, who's Margaret think she is, right? Who's Margaret? So,
right,
you know, I would use that opportunity to see, wow, I am literally up against a rule. And to get clarity on what that rule is, I mean, it really sounds like, you know, there's a rule that says, who are you to think you're so powerful, to think you're so great,
right,
which is a way of saying powerful. And jump in that moment and tap and just literally voice it as many different ways, you know, tap on shame, 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 shame. I should feel shame. I deserve to feel shamed. You know, I can't step out. Whatever you can, you know, jump right in on the feeling and thoughts that come up, because what's going to happen is it's kind of like turning off an allergic reaction. Every time you tap, you start to rewire and turn it off quieter and quieter. And I can tell you that eventually I would be driving home from a workshop and I'd be going, I was awesome. I felt really awesome. That felt awesome. And I literally almost stopped the car on the highway. And I was like, oh, my God. My inner horrific critic has changed and
okay.
is now saying what a friend would say. Like, I think I killed it. Like, that was my third ever workshop, and I did pretty good. So
right.
You can rewire this, but what you did was you pushed yourself to make a video, and then
mm-hmm.
you got a backlash, right?
Yeah.
And that's the time to jump in and tap on it and really question your belief, because I bet there is just as much fighting spirit that would say, I freaking do deserve, and I am awesome, and I have worked it, and I'm good at it, and I can tell, right?
Right.
So there's that voice that I bet would come up.
Okay.
And then there's this other voice that says, oh, my God, you know, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to say that about yourself, right? So keep shifting the fear. And this is the same thing after a video, after being on stage, or thinking about being on stage, after a sales conversation. When you feel these things come up, that's your cue, like, oh, my God, I need to turn this off, because it will get turned off forever if you make sure you nail it a few times. Does that make sense?
Yes, for sure, because, you know, you would think after you'd made a video or you did a presentation, you would feel, oh, awesome, I did it. But, you know, instead I feel that, like you said, this backlash. Oh, my God,
yeah.
You know, so much shame. And then it re-traumatizes me. So then next time I do it, I have to deal not only with doing it, the fear first and then the shame afterwards. So every time you're saying, just keep tapping on that. Who do you think you are? And just tap on that, all this shame. And eventually
yeah.
it will loosen up.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
And, you know, great point, because it becomes the stopper. Thank you for that. It becomes the stop. It literally stops you from the next time you're going to do it. I'm like, why do I want to go through that? So whenever I tell people to jump in the moment when you feel the shame coming up, start tapping on shame, the best thing that I can tell you to do next is, if you can find within yourself somewhere that you are angry and so sick of being in shame, then go there. If you can find some anger that it's like, you know what, I just did all this tapping on shame, I'm so freaking sick of shame stopping me, and you can get into some tapping on that, let your anger come up, that will shift it even faster. Okay, so fear and shame, tap on it directly, and then see if you can get up a part of you that would say, you know how sick I am of being afraid? Ugh. And then tap on the anger of how sick you are that you get stopped by shame or fear. Now there's some really good tapping, because it brings up more energy, and you'll feel freaking awesome after it, by the way. Great comment. Okay, I'm going to take one more comment. Amanda?
Is that me?
I think so, yes.
Oh, wonderful. It's so funny, because I raised my hand, and the question that I have, I think you kind of answered it, because I've been in sales since I was the prime age of 19. And when I was, you know, I had a basic salary of $24,000 a year, I could sell my butt off, like, no problem. I was a rock star. And then when they switched to commission, I would be making, you know, like $150,000 a year, and I could not sell to save my life.
Mm.
And I think that you kind of touched on it, whereas it's like, I need your money. Like, they could hear the desperation and the panic. And
Mommy. And your children who need you. And your voice. It's like, yeah, it's
yes.
all there in your field. You know, and it comes right through our fifth chakra. And so, you know, to be able to voice that before you go into a selling situation is so powerful. You know, it really is. And so, you know, I would say that you really hit the nail on the head with that realization.
Well, the funny thing is I've known it. Like, I've known it about myself, and I finally just was like, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to go to the administrative side because I just can't do it.
Wow.
But I
yeah.
keep finding myself in these sales situations, and I'm like, I could totally nail that if they just give me a commission or, you know, if they just put me on salary.
Right.
But, you know, most people are like, no.
Right, right.
So,
yeah.
But I'm just
and
so thankful that I feel like I fixed it.
Yeah, it's really powerful, and when you're in a corporate situation, as you know, you can make a lot of money in sales, you know,
yes.
And it's like, as long as you believe in what you do. I mean, I never sold stuff that I didn't believe in when I was in sales for a long time, you know, and they were more technical products, so it was very much business-to-business sale. But I believed in what I did. I believed in the solution. I believed that the people who bought it were a fit for it. Then, you know, all of that is aligned, then it's really just the interpersonal stuff. You know, the other thing that comes up for salespeople is, that can be a big one that I don't think that you had, which was, when I make that shift into selling, people aren't going to like me. They're going to be angry at me. They're going to, you know, I'm going to make other people uncomfortable. And, you know, I definitely had some of that. I'd rather be friendly than switch to, you know, are you ready to place your order? Because I didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable. That was one of the rules that I had. Don't make anybody uncomfortable. You know, just be nice to people. So, whatever the rule is that we find, it will absolutely shift us when we're in that situation. Because as you know, sales conversations, you know, it's a very short amount of time that makes a really big impact on your income, whether it's clients or it's, mm-hmm. you know, you're selling for a company. So awesome. Awesome. Okay, so what we're going to do now is just going to finish up. Thank you for all the wonderful comments and for giving me some ideas on you know, helping giving you all direction on other things to tap on, and we even did a little extra set of tapping in there. But here's what I want to just finish with, okay? This is a fabulous little tapping and visualization that I do often, and I encourage people to do often, and you can do it very quickly once I've sort of walked you through it once. So any of the tapping exercises that you've done, you can end with this visualization, okay? So just close your eyes and see yourself in a common situation for you. So you could use you sitting across the table selling from somebody, if that's what you need to do next. You can do you standing on a stage, or you can be you, you know, speaking on a video, okay? And I want you to see yourself there, and you are teaching. The words that are coming out of your mouth is your brilliance. It's your gift. It's what you're good at. It's what you love to do and say and teach. And if you're in a sales conversation, it's that plus your recommendation. Because in a sales conversation, whether it's on the stage or one-on-one, it's this is what I do, and this is what I'm good at, and this is where what we would do together, for example. And this is my recommendation that comes from all of my experience and knowledge and my knowing of what I can do for people, for example. And so even in a sales conversation, you're speaking the truth of your gifts, your experience, and your knowledge. So I just want you to see that. And I want you to see that there you are with this, like, words coming out of your mouth that are really the things that are easy for you to speak about because you know them. And imagine that there's like this beautiful blue and maybe indigo blue and maybe violet, right? So fifth chakra, sixth chakra, the mind space, the brilliance, seventh chakra, you know, you're channeling your goodness. And even some of your, you know, your heart, you some green in there, you know, you're just like giving it all that you have in your teaching. Okay, so there's the words, but now we're going to zoom past the words. And I want you to see that there's something else, almost like another dialogue that's going on in you. And so you can tap or you can just listen along. Sometimes I like to tap one spot. And this is the energy or the vibe that's going on in you. I love teaching and sharing. I love being me. I love sharing my knowledge and experience. And I really do care. I love giving my best. And I am totally unique. And I'm also totally human with all sorts of flaws and desires. And I'm insecure. And I'm kind of a narcissist. And I really do care what other people think, even though that's embarrassing and I'm working on it. Because I care. And so I have all these flaws and insecurities. And I have all these awesome qualities. And my brains and my heart and my sense of humor and my warmth and my caring. I love being me. And I love sharing me. And it's incredible to share who I am through all of my words and have that received and seen by you. Because I'm not just my brilliance and my advice. I'm all of me. Flaws, brilliance, narcissism, insecurity, neediness, strength, amazingness. And as I look at everyone, even through the camera, I give you all permission to be awesome and flawed and love being you, even if you're insecure and narcissistic like me, and loving and awesome and strong like me. I give you permission, and I see that in you. I love being me and talking to you. And I just want you to imagine that you could see your energy expand, your third chakra, your sense of who you are. It just expand like a beautiful sun and this warm, powerful, but non-dominating energy, where the very fact that you are there, owning all of you, sitting in that space, speaking your brilliance, speaking from your heart, speaking about your gifts and maybe your flaws sometimes, that you are just giving permission and creating a space for everyone to absolutely love being themselves. Creating a space for everyone to value themselves, even with their flaws, to take a chance, to take action, to do something different, to take your advice if it's in their highest good. That you are giving people the space and the respect and the honoring for them to make their own decision based on what you have to offer. And you want, in that energy, there's the my intention is for the highest good of both of us. Win, 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 win situation. And with that energy, we can detach from the outcome. Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And I used to do this when I was still in corporate sales. I was doing coaching on the side, but I was still in my corporate job. And I started to do this before I met my customers were some of the top biggest companies in the world. And I would do this before I went to those business meetings. And I was a different person when I walked in than I had ever been before. And I had so much more ease and so much more fun than I had ever had in that job before. So just shake it out. Notice how you feel. Notice how it feels in your body. And so right now, as we wrap up, I want you to just picture, imagine that you're about to step into a sales conversation with somebody, or you're about to step up and speak. Do you feel how differently your energy is? How easy, how much more energy and charisma? And I guarantee you, if you make a video right now, if you went to talk right now, there would be so much more resonance and emotion and motion in your voice and in your body and in your energy. So I hope you all enjoyed this bonus. It was probably more than you bargained for with the crazy tapping that we did. I encourage you to all to try it multiple times, particularly before you were going to get on camera, get on stage, or make a stage or make a sales call. And in that recommendation, I am also going to recommend for the millionth time, and I'll say it a million more times, make video, make video, make video right on your webcam, video blog, video chat, video, video, video. Make video and allow people to see you on camera. And in making your own videos and watching them themselves, you're going to find this tapping will continue to come in handy. And your whole energy, your whole charisma, your whole vibe is going to get bigger and brighter and funner and easier and more authentic. And that is exactly what I want from you. Now, if you are in our Ignite Your Power or our Seven Levels Facebook group, I would love to see you post your videos. So I'm throwing down a challenge. Post your video. And let us all see some of your befores and your afters, or just your afters. You don't have to show us your befores. Okay, guys, this is Margaret Lynch. We are wrapping it up, and this is your Rockstar Charisma class. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'm just going to unmute for a second and let you guys say, so I can say goodbye to everybody. Bye, everybody.
You're fabulous.
Bye.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Margaret.
You're fantastic. Bye.